Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. The success of our potted comic opera, The Mikado from Titipu, kept us in high spirits for quite some time. We were even asked to repeat it, which we did with much gusto. Our masters developed an infuriating habit for counting what they called tenko. One day, we were all called out and made to line up while the Japanese camp commandant explained it to us.
From now on, when you are called to tenko, you will come at once and stand in the roadway to be counted. You understand? You will come immediately and stand still until you are told you can read. When you have been counted to our satisfaction, you will be inspected by an officer. As he passes down the ranks, you will bow from the waist and say, "Hati, hati, homat." It is understood. Now, you will repeat, "Hati, hati, homat."
Hati, hati, homat.
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 You are not bowing. You will bow. It is clear?
Clear as mud.
That is all. Dismiss.
Well, now, that's going to be a nice little ceremony to look forward to.
See, having to bow to those undersized little apes. They must sit around for hours thinking up ways to annoy us.
Hatty, hatty, home rat. What next will they think of? Hatty, hatty in his hat.
It was a terrible nuisance. We'd hear a Jap guard yell, and whatever we were doing, we had to dump it on the spot and dash outside to stand on the roadway in the midday sun or pouring rain and wait to be counted. Mitz, as senior sister in our group, had to stand at the top of the line of Australians and tell the guard there were 32 of us. Then the guard, after counting us half a dozen times, was always surprised to find we were all present and correct. Usually, we would wait for hours before the high and mighty officer would walk down the lines to inspect us, then let us go back to our houses.
Hey, man, when you finished with the tin hat the kids next door wanted.
Oh, they can take it now. I've just finished. Oh, my knees. Look, they're getting so thin that when I kneel on them, it feels as though the bones are sticking through the skin.
I'll empty it.
Oh, thanks, Shorty.
Hey, I've just been given a wonderful present.
Why, it's not your birthday again, is it, Jeff?
Look, Viv. Coconut shell.
Oh, where'd you get it from?
Miss Drybrough from Garage 9 gave it to me.
What are you going to do with it?
Well, she says that the pulp gives flavor to food, the oil cures shiny noses and lifeless hair, and the husks make wonderful pot cleaners.
Well, for goodness sake. Versatile, isn't it?
Oh, it's not all, my dear. The fronds tied together make elegant brooms, and the shell itself can be a very snappy eating bowl.
And, of course, if you get a new one, you've got a drink of milk.
If you get a new one. Oh, by the way, have you finished with the tin hat?
Yes, Shorty went out to empty it, and I'd better take it into our house. Mitz is waiting for it.
Australia by the Tenko!
Oh, surely not.
Tenko, hurry!
But this is the second time we've been counted this morning.
Tenko, kids. What do they think we're doing? Multiplying?
Come on, kids.
Tenko!
Now, this is ridiculous. Tenko. Oh, I've never heard such tripe.
Come on over here, girls. We'll sing them our song first.
Yes, come on.
Come on, let's get round. Come on.
Comes a train of little nurses from Australia, travel free. All have lost their little purses who pay for this eastern spree. Is it but to stand a Tenko? We have come so far to cow and tow and bow at Tenko, to fat yellow God. Hatty, 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 home man is the thing we say. Hatty, ratty, ratty, home man, three times every day. Hatty, ratty, ratty, home man, three times every day.
Tenko! Tenko, hurry! Tenko, hurry!
Come on, girls, here we go.
Comes a train of little
nurses. Take a poloto, huh?
He'll convince himself in a minute that there are 32 of us.
Should do I, Ollie? That's the seventh time he's counted us.
Hey, dearie.
Goodness, what's happened? The officer is ready to inspect us without our having to wait for 2 hours.
Mm. Here he comes out of the guardhouse.
Oh, it makes my gorge rise to have to count over these little monstrosities.
Shut up, here he comes.
Happy, happy, home, Matt. Happy, happy, home, Matt. Happy,
happy, home, Matt. Happy, happy, home, Matt.
Happy, happy, home, Matt. Happy, happy, home, Matt. Hope you dropped in, yes? One on our feet.
Ruddy, ruddy, stinker.
Oh, that was wonderful. Shorty, you're a tiger.
Oh, I'd die.
Well, I only hope we never strike the one who speaks good English.
Thank you.
Our clothes situation was getting desperate. Especially the shoes. Most of the British members of the camp were barefooted by this time, and the Japs had taken the odd assortment of footwear that we'd worn on the night we went to the officers' club. It was a great relief when we were allowed to have a shop in the camp in August. This shop was brought in by a rogue of a fellow called Go Leng, who came into the camp on Sundays with a bullock cart. He sold overripe pineapples, squashy bananas, and a few luxuries such as a tiny bit of sugar and a minute amount of butter and sandwiches. Well, this was fine if you had any money.
Oh, I've only got enough money to get one banana or a little bit of sugar. I can't decide which to get.
I wish we could afford sandwiches.
What are you going to get, Jack?
A banana. I'll have a few pence over that I'll throw in with anyone who likes for a pineapple.
Well, that's a good idea. We might even get enough for some sugar to go with it.
Hey, I want a banana. I want a pineapple.
Oh, I've got to sit here by myself and eat this little banana slowly and enjoy every mouthful. Oh, the joy of having a whole banana to yourself.
Hey, kids, have you heard the latest rumor?
No.
Well, don't disturb Jeff. She's gone off into a trance to eat a banana. What's it about this time, Iola?
Well, according to the grapevine...
Pineapple, I'll put that over in our house.
Oh, righto, Shorty.
Well, it appears there is to be a change of guards.
What? The changing of the guards?
No, a change of guards. Apparently Nippon has decided we aren't quite so frightening as he first thought.
Oh?
Yeah, they're going to send Javanese police to guard us.
From what?
Oh, Lord knows. But they may be a bit easier to get on with.
They couldn't be any worse than this lot.
Jeff, you have a glazed look in your eye.
That is the banana.
Haven't you finished it yet?
Certainly not. I've had two small bites. I can't buy any more, so I've just got to make this one last.
I just couldn't do that. I ate mine straight down. And now I'm going to have a...
That little bit of fruit and sugar was tantalizingly wonderful. We'd been simply craving for sugar, for we'd been given only one ration in the last 6 months, and then only £2 for the whole house. The new guards duly arrived and took over, supervised, of course, by Japs. They were dark-skinned natives and were much more cheery objects to gaze upon and be gazed upon by than the little yellow horrors. Now, instead of a rifle with fixed bayonet and slit eyes, we were guarded by one revolver and eyes as round as saucers. A few nights ago, we were all awoken by shots.
What on earth's going on?
Oh, don't tell me the war's over and we're being rescued.
Oh, couldn't be.
Listen. He's babbling about arresting someone.
It's one of the Japs. They're getting trigger happy. A couple of nights ago, they shot at a stray dog and wounded the poor thing.
Oh, why?
Oh, they just fired at a moving shadow without waiting to see what it was.
Oh, well, it seems to have quietened down again. Excitement's over.
Good night.
Good night, Jill.
Hello, Ione.
Hey, did you hear all the fuss last night?
The shooting, yes.
Yeah. Any idea what it was?
No, but Shorty's gone to see what she can find out from the rest of the camp.
They were probably shooting at shadows again.
Hey, I found out what happened last night.
Oh, what was it all about, Shorty?
You're going to love this. One of their Jap guards fired a shot at a shadow in the camp.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty close to us. And what do you think he shot?
Another dog?
No, another Jap.
Oh, no.
There's a terrific bus going on about.
Oh, that's the spirit, boys. Keep it up.
Well, that makes one less for our chaps to polish off somewhere else.
Was he wounded or killed?
Well, they managed to kill him outright.
Oh, well, that has made my whole day for me. I shall now go outside and have a rain shower.
The Japs made a terrible to-do during the next 24 hours, which was most entertaining, though they had a scared stiff to move outside at night. But after a while, things settled down again to normal. Last June, there had been a strong rumor that we were to be repatriated to India via Singapore. As usual, it didn't eventuate. Later on, the destination was changed, and we were going to Lorenzo Marquez in South Africa. We were to be exchanged through the Vatican. As time went by, this rumor too died a natural death. But Nippon gave us an antidote to our disappointment.
Oh, look, I'm so hot, I think I'll melt right away. What are you doing, Jeff?
Oh, I was just catching up on my diary.
Oh.
And I have also written an epic poem.
Well, let's hear it.
It's just a little thing I dashed off when I heard we were to be exchanged through the Vatican. It goes, there are some young women who hope to travel by sea to the Pope, and there be exchanged as this good man arranged, so back to their homes and some soap.
Jeff, you really are.
I think it's beautiful.
Oh, just the same. I did think they might have meant it this time. Our being repatriated, I mean.
Yes.
Hello, you two.
Oh, hi.
Oh, where's everyone?
Having a sleep, Mitz.
Oh, forget about our siesta. I hate sleeping in the daytime.
Mm.
Well, the Nips have arranged to make up to us for our disappointment about not getting away from here.
Oh, really?
How?
As a special treat, we are to clean out all the drains in the street. Oh, no. Doing our own's bad enough.
You mean all of the drains?
That's right.
But that'll take us 6 months.
Drains, they call them. They're just primitive open cuts in the earth.
And overgrown with grass, and the overflow from the septic tanks go into them.
Well, what else do you expect? These houses are only meant to have 2 or 3 people, and not 24.
The Jap idea of hygiene is fantastic, especially when you think how near the equator we are.
And why they bother to bring that long sort of petrol wagon affair in here is beyond me.
I nearly died the other day. It was the first time I'd seen its name inscribed on its sides. King Neptune. I wonder how the real old King Neptune would react if he could see it.
Yes.
As you say, Jeff, I can't think why they bring that atrocity in here, because the natives empty the septic tanks into our drain, not into King Neptune.
Well, when do we start our new drain duties?
Right away, I think.
Oh, well, it'll be something to do.
I could do without a job of that sort.
Our new duties were revolting, to say the least of it, but we attacked it as if it were all in the day's work, and even managed to sing while we worked, which, of course, always drove the Japs into a frenzy. Our morale this month was no doubt elevated by the diet. For 30 days we had disintegrating cabbage, beans, and now and then one overripe duck egg between 3 people. September came, and so did Miyake. He asked for 10 nurses to go to the Plagio Oil Fields Hospital. These oil fields were across the river and only a few miles from Palembang. He sat on a fence opposite our house and waited for us to give him an answer.
No, I don't want to go. You can bet your life we'll be nursing Japs.
I'd like to know what he means when he says we're to go free.
Yes.
I don't think I want to go. You never know what they've got up their sleeves.
Australian! Australian nurses! Have now decided to enact 15 nurses.
Have you decided what you're going to do, kids?
No, not really.
What's he yelling about now?
He wants 15 nurses.
All the nurses from all over the camp are gathering to discuss it.
I shouldn't think the Chinese would go.
Correction! We want 20 nurses.
Oh. Look, I'm going to ask him straight out who he expects us to nurse.
Well, we'll come with you.
Now, look here. We want to get this straight before we make a decision.
You want to get it straight, sister. Not straight.
Well, of all the darn nerve.
I want to get it clear. Who are we supposed to nurse?
American and Dutchman. They have asked specially for Australian nurses.
I bet they did.
I tell you, we will want 30 nurses. I go away now till 5 o'clock and come back for your answer.
All the nurses in the camp had a meeting to thrash the thing out. There were British, Dutch, Chinese and Australian nurses all sitting round on the floor, each with plenty to say on the matter. At 5 o'clock, Miyake came back for his answer. 20 or so people half-heartedly volunteered, but nobody was set free, and nothing came of it. Some weeks later, Miyake tried again, asking for more of us to nurse Japanese soldiers in their hospital. When no one said they would, as a punishment, we had 3 of our packed houses taken away from us.
Do you realize we're now a community of 400 women and children from all ends of the earth, living in 14 3-room houses and garages?
That's right. And the 3 houses that have been taken from us are still empty.
It's really fantastic to see about 30 people streaming out from a tiny house for Tinko each day.
I believe 4 British sisters have left to nurse natives in a clinic in the town.
Oh?
They work for Dutch doctors and have a small place to themselves to live in at night.
Oh, good luck to them.
Oh, my bones are so stiff.
Hello,
you
three.
Hello, Shorty.
Hi there.
Just sleeping on cold tiles, Jenny, that makes you ache. It's getting very tiresome.
A lot of the kids are acquiring a rice sack each to lie on. Some of them have them stuffed with grass.
Is that why the room smells like a stable?
I wouldn't care what it smelt like. It'd be a pleasure to go to bed on anything except that hard coldness.
Ooh, for the day when we can go to sleep on a mattress, on a bed, with sheets and a real pillow.
Jeff, do you feel all right?
Why?
You look a bit green about the gills.
Well, I've got a bit of a pain in my side. Well, nothing to worry about.
You don't look so hot, old thing. Which side?
The right.
Have you had your appendix out?
No.
Uh-oh.
No, don't get into a flap. It's probably only a combination of indigestion and a chill or something.
Well, watch it, old thing. If it gets any worse, you'd better go into hospital.
You mean the charities? Well, that wouldn't be much help. They can't do surgery.
No, but at least you could be put to bed and stay there.
Oh, we'll see. It's probably only a pain in the binchy.
Well, all right. But if it gets any worse, you're going whether you like it or not.
The pain in my side got worse, and eventually I had to get Dr. McDowell to have a look-see, and she confirmed my suspicions that it was an appendix attack. So on Wednesday, I was bundled into the ambulance once more and carted off to hospital. I was put into a small room with 30 or 40 women in it, no windows, no air vents, and two doors which were kept tight shut at night.
How are you feeling, sister?
Oh, much better, thank you. I think it must be the luxury of sleeping on a wooden bench complete with mattress and pillow.
The doctor tells me that your appendix has settled down, and that perhaps tomorrow you can get up for a little while.
Oh, that's fine. Tell me, sister, would it be possible to have one of the doors open at night? It's so stifling in here.
If we were to open the door, you would be worried by mosquitoes, and also the wards are well guarded by Japanese. If the door were open, they would be forever coming in and out.
I see. Well, we'll just have to put up with it. I discovered that the hospital was divided into three divisions, one for Allied servicemen, one for civilian men, and one for women. We were not allowed to get in touch with each other at any time, as the place was fairly bristling with Jap guards. The following morning, I got out of bed and picked my way across the ward and back, and then sat on the edge of my bed. The nun came in on her rounds and stopped to speak to me.
Have you been up, sister?
Yes, sister.
How do you feel?
Oh, I'm all right. A bit wobbly, but that's nothing.
Oh, then you can take up your duties.
What duties, sister?
While you are convalescing, you will nurse.
Are you short-staffed, sister?
Always. So whenever nurses come, they have to go on duty as soon as they are able.
I see. Well, when do you want me to start?
You can start now. You will be in charge of this ward. And when we go off duty at 6 p.m., you will take over.
So I worked all day and watched all night. It was pitiful to see the women packed like sardines in the sweltering, putrid room. Our diet was still rice, given to us three times a day, and it was hard work coaxing very ill people to eat the unappetizing stuff. There was very little that could be done for anyone, as there was no surgery, no drugs, and certainly no comfort. I'll never forget one poor little lass who was having a baby. I don't think I've ever felt so sorry for anyone in my life. And there was a Scots lass who told me how to get news to and from the Australian servicemen who were also in the hospital.
Thanks, sister. You're an Australian, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
Do you know how to get in contact with the Australian servicemen who are working patients?
No.
Well, I'll tell you. As you know, the Japs guard these wards very strictly so that no one can get in touch with anyone in the another ward.
Why do they do that?
Well, I suppose to keep everyone in the dark as much as they can about the war news and so on.
Well, there are no radios in our camp now.
Ours either. But the men make little sets and hide them in the most ingenious places. They can get news of that, what goes on outside, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So by meeting them is the only way you can know what is happening in the world.
I see. Well, how's it arranged?
The only place that is not guarded is the community lavatory. Now, what usually happens is this. If you see an Australian or an Englishman making for it, you follow him. And you get the news. Some of the girls, well, they exchange notes with the laddies.
Well, it'll certainly be good to know what is happening. We've no idea if the war is even still on.
It's still on, all right. But wait your chance, sister. And at the meeting place, you'll get the details.
The Australian boy I spoke to told me what news he could, and really it wasn't very cheering. After a week of nursing in these awful conditions, I begged to go back to camp on the ambulance's next trip. Somehow, even the mattress and pillow didn't make up for the heat and stench and pitiful cries of the women who were suffering and could have nothing done to help them.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Fenn, and produced by Fifi Banvard for Australasian Radio Productions.